goddamn hashtag WrestlePals. Gosh darn. This might be only 2 minutes after we recorded the last one. I'm not putting a timestamp on this. There's no saying when we recorded that last one. But if you're listening to this, wherever you're listening to it from, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me to have you on board. And if you wanted to comment, that would be cool. We're going to hop right in. We did Great American Bash last, Corey. Even though I already kind of know the answer to this, because I think I may have asked you a minute and a half ago. Coming out of Great American Bash, going into today's Bash at the Beach, how are you feeling?
We know what's on the horizon. We know it's history. And it coming out of the Bash felt really good. It felt really good. You had a good show, and you know that you know what's coming, and you know that for me it was interesting to kind of see what else was on the card leading up to this. How did they assemble everything leading up to what would happen? And Bash at the Beach is typically always a good time. That's one of those events that if you're a WCW fan was kind of a hallmark. So definitely was excited for this one.
Curtis, same question.
Totally. Don't have a ton of memory of the undercard back from originally. I don't know if I've ever revisited this show other than when it was new. But hot damn, this was a hot angle, and they milked it for all it was worth.
Yeah. Oh, boy, didn't they. I'm right with you guys, like, geeked up because... Oh boy, like we're really getting into it. Last month's show was good. It was fun. And we've got something that we know history is going to happen on. And it'll be nice to dive into like what's underneath it. If there's anything worth pulling out and going, hey, by the way, this happens too. And I, with that, I'm going to start this. This is an oop from last month. And I can't wait to not have a thing because I feel like I finally got rid of the Ed Leslie thing. And now I got a new thing. Hopefully next month this won't be a thing. Thumbs down. Bubba versus Tenta. The sequel. Why? It was a coins and a sock match.
Yes. This one in particular was, yeah, Carson City silver dollar match.
Yeah. Look, again, like I don't want to disparage the guys, and I don't want to even really necessarily disparage the match. The match, fine. If I'm watching that match on Nitro, thumbs
right
up.
Right on.
If I'm watching it on Thunder, I mean, I know Thunder isn't a thing yet. Okay, cool. If maybe it's the open to a pay-per-view, okay, it's not exactly a hot open, but okay, I can understand it. Why are these guys on pay-per-view?
And why is the pole so fucking tall?
And why hasn't Tenta cut the other side of his hair yet?
Is the pole a rib on Jimmy Hart?
Dude, right? It sure seemed like it did.
Way up there. Bro, yeah. That's like a fourth story, it felt like.
Yes. Yeah, like, why? Why?
Just, there's a lot of why in that match.
Right.
Because I remember, like, we're cruising along, and then, like, both those guys come out, and I look at you, and I'm like,
Again?
I thought we finished it last month.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this again? Because I can't remember how the finish was, but I think Tenta went over.
I believe so, and somebody got their beard cut
at yeah.
the end of Great American Bash, however that was. So I guess they decided that wasn't enough.
Yeah, so like now we need to do a coin sock match.
Yeah, let's involve heights.
Where Tenta goes over again.
Yeah.
We somehow turned hair versus hair into a silver dollar match
yeah.
for no reason.
Yeah.
I will give it this. It was much better than the previous show.
Agreed.
Yeah.
The finish was actually over in the building. And maybe that's just like Jimmy Hart, one of the greatest of all time, like selling
yeah.
for Tenta. But holy cow, this was not great. But yeah, I mean, crowd reaction alone gives it, we're half a step better than the previous month, which...
I always just come back to, and you know, maybe this is me thinking too deep on it. Do we really have plans for either of these guys going forward?
Right.
Of course.
Because like I said, like both of these guys are out of the company soon.
Yes.
So why are we taking up pay-per-view spots with these guys?
Yeah, for a second month in a row.
Yeah.
Is it selling tickets? Is it telling a future story? Is it building up a future star? Like, 0 for 3. What's the point?
What is the point?
I guess kind of over in the building, but, like, to what end? It's so, like, contrary to the tone that we're trying to set with this NWO thing.
Yep. And, it feels like maybe this is just Hogan pulling strings, even though he's not there. Maybe. Because I have no confirmation on this, but I assume Tenta and Big Bubba, both Hogan guys.
More than likely.
So.
I mean, yeah. And probably both big Florida guys is part of my thing. Or over in the building.
True. True. All right, Corey.
So, I don't want to put these dudes on this side of the spectrum because I love all four of them. But with Public Enemy and the Nasty Boys, it's kind of like a more extreme version or a more spread out version of Bubba and Tenta at this point.
Right.
I mean, look, I for one love when pieces of the set are used in a brawl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with that. I enjoy that very much. But, like, I mean, dude, we're at the point where inflatable sharks are being used. We get it. We get it. We're going to eventually have another Benoit Sullivan segment later in the show. Do we really need these four dudes out there just sweating and slobbing all over the place? We get it.
I think my biggest gripe with this is, like, this was the same match they did, like, when we started this whole thing in February.
Yes.
Almost exactly.
That was uncensored, and it was, believe it or not, a different opponent. Even though the match seemed to be exactly the same, it was the Steiner brothers.
Oh, really?
Holy shit.
Yeah. Oh.
So this is a great value version of that match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this one also was a dog collar match.
Yeah.
Well, but it did feel identical. Like,
and, you know, not that everything's got to have blood, but, like, dog collar, kind of the standard has been set pretty high for being intense and like a real rivalry ender and kind of a bloodbath type of thing. This was just, you know, the Nasties did Public Enemy shtick, and I guess that's fine. I did, you know, the 1 minute they were on over on the set was like, that was fun, but then the match had another 10 minutes to it.
Yeah.
And that's it, dude. It just drags out so much, and it very much feels like, oh, we probably still have another 15 minutes we could play with. Just fucking throw them out there.
Yeah. Well, and then my next note was, so this is a dog collar match, a dog collar tag match with two tag teams. So this is supposed to be a rivalry ender, yet there's more post-match shenanigans.
Yes.
Well, then why did we just go through this?
Right.
Pointless. All right. Curtis?
Thumbs up to stealing from Paul Heyman. The opener, Ray versus Psychosis.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby. That was a good one. We're in, like, 4.5-star match territory with this one, I think. That was a barn burner. Way, way up on that. And I think they just had it on ECW pay-per-view, like, maybe within 12 calendar months. So, good for them. Way to be, Eric. Use the big purse strings and bring in these two luchador studs. So, loved that. Obviously, they'd go back to this, like,
a million times.
They obviously, you know, top 50 at the worst of all time. But this Psychosis matchup that they did 1,000 times, like, way put them on the map. Love this match.
So, after one, we're at a -2. A little bit surprising. But I'm gonna swing positive like Curtis did, because I was really shocked here. We talked last month about the four being able to drag a match with a broomstick, like being able to do that. And Dean Malenko's that same way. Yep. And this month, you know, I guess maybe the bar was low, but he has a good match with Disco Inferno.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I'm saying those words, because to me, Disco was always just kind of a gimmick. Yeah. And it was like, I couldn't tell you any Disco matches. a dude best known for trying to be in the NWO and Gross Kitty for the second month straight, yeah. not leaving Corey alone. Is this a match I want to, paragraphs upon paragraphs about? No. Is this like, so again, some five-star classic? No. This just surprised me that I was enjoying a Disco Inferno match.
Right.
So thumbs up, Disco Inferno versus Malenko. Hello, Kitty. Yes. All right, Corey.
Malenko's so fucking great, dude. I want to give a thumbs up to an appearance by fucking Lee Marshall.
Oh, God.
And it's just... It's,
we really are simple sometimes.
It's vintage WCW. You got to remember, I was like fucking 8, 9 years old. So just the sighting of people like this sometimes is just enough to make me go, oh, shit. And I think I even remember you saying at one point something to the effect of, like, the cool thing about Lee Marshall is you know you're watching WCW. It's like, it's so accurate. Because what the fuck else has that guy done?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's simple. It's not serious. And I know I'm leaning into it here a bit, but... Lee Marshall makes me think of fucking WCW.
Hey, man, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get you on the positive. All right, Curtis?
People talk about, like, who you want narrating your life, and obviously Morgan Freeman's, like, what everybody says. Stagger Lee has, like, a hell of a speaking voice.
It does. Really, like, what a set of pipes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that. I'll kind of parlay right off of that. Lee was interviewing the Horsemen, and I think, and maybe I'll regret to say this as we're watching these pay-per-views as they go along, but I thought the way that Arn first addressed the NWO stuff before his own program and the way they made it a show-long storyline was extremely effective here.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to... way overplay that, like, over the next 3 years plus, but on this night, the way even the heels had, well, I guess they're kind of turning here because their opponents are heels, but the way everybody in the building kind of had a certain level of urgency was I thought it was very effective.
Everybody's on high alert because the yep. company's in jeopardy.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, I dig that. Okay. I hate to do this because there's so much good here to go over, but I got to go another thumbs down because it's sitting right in the middle of my right in the middle of my list. Mongo versus Joe Gomez.
In the same pay-per-view.
Yeah. Look. Again, Mongo's this new bad guy that we want to start getting over. Okay, so I can understand him being on the pay-per-view. But Joe Gomez? Okay. I'll accept because, you know, Mongo's got to go over. But a couple of my notes here. Joe Gomez has an ugly dropkick. Don't. Like, I don't know if either of you guys remember John Cena trying to do a dropkick.
Awful.
Just terrible. Yep. It's cool, man. You're John Cena. We get it. You're a muscle guy. You don't have to do that.
No, it's okay. Stay on your feet.
It's very cool. And I'd forgotten that Mongo's finish was the tombstone pile driver. And this legit made me mad.
Yeah.
When I saw him do that, I was like, how fucking dare you, Mongo? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here with the tombstone pile driver.
Go do some up downs.
Go do anything else. Tombstone pile driver. You son of a bitch.
This whole presentation was an F. It's a squash match. Why did it need 7 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joe Gomez went on pay-per-view. Why wasn't this on Nitro?
Yeah.
This ain't pay-per-view, man.
Yep.
This is not. I get that we want to take some of our crossover appeal with Mongo and take some of that goodwill and keep the storyline going from the month before. Like, if you're just checking in on the pay-per-views, you're seeing, well, Mongo went from football player to he's actually, like, becoming a worker, and it just, this was not in the moment or long-term anything that made any kind of sense.
Couldn't he have just cornered the four? Like, him and Deborah just come out with the four, and it's like, okay, now his face is there, and, like, he's firmly, like, I don't know, that...
Yeah.
And at least then we don't have to see Joe Gomez.
What I wrote this down, I don't know if you remember this, Justin, but it made me laugh to the point where I made a direct quote of what you said in my notes. Can we come up with a better name for Joe Gomez? It's just such a, just not, the gear wasn't exciting. The action, or lack thereof, wasn't. The name, Cheeks. No offense to Joe Gomez.
Yeah, it's just like, nothing screams jobber like Joe Gomez. You know what I mean? Like, if you're supposed to be some kind of star, can we give you, like, a star name?
Right.
Joe Gomez?
I'm looking him up here. One of the, here's some ring names that he's had. Alan Iron Eagle and Bobby Bold Eagle. Those are badass. That's awesome.
Certainly better than Joe Gomez.
Yeah.
Jobber McGee. My goodness.
Dude, seriously.
So, all right, Corey, let me write this thumbs down, but yes.
Enough with the USA chants, dude. Like, I get it last month in the Sting and Regal match where you have Regal from England. Duggan's fighting DDP.
Yeah. Who's from?
From fucking Jersey.
And I think at this time he was still billed from Vegas.
Yeah. So, which is also in the States.
Yeah.
So yes. What are we doing? Like, at one point, Schiavone says Duggan has home field advantage.
Yeah. I guess.
How? Please clarify. Like, I just, that, the whole thing with Duggan, dude, like, once you start getting hair down there and you realize, like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know, man. They called it a taped fist match. Taped fists don't get used. So, like, what are we doing? I mean, okay, they do get used after the match, I believe, when Duggan gets his heat back.
For whatever reason. Because, right. Yeah, I'm sure we're going to be using Duggan going forward.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, the USA chants, get out of here.
Yeah.
Age Joseph Falkenberg Jr. left the continental in the United States by this point in his life. Like, what are we
doing? I know, right? USA. I just noted, like, okay, like, Duggan's, you know, leading the chants and they're following him. You can't fault him for doing that. But, like,
sure.
Why would a USA chant bug Paige?
Yes. He's also American.
I like where I live too.
I'm also a patriot.
I don't.
We went back to back to back with Shark versus Big Bubba, Dallas versus Duggan, and the Nasty Boys, Public Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, were we? Like, was there like some kind of meta commentary that
this feels like? I mean, when you look at all those names, like almost all of them, but maybe Paige or Hogan's boys,
right? But are we trying to like show that the outsiders are kind of trying to wash away some of this corniness? Like, am I giving them way too much credit?
You know what? I'm going to go with you. I'll allow it because like that has to be like, that has to be what's happening here because otherwise what the hell? All right.
Do we want to live in a world where DDP and Jim Duggan like legitimately just have a tape fist match on pay-per-view, like, unironically. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Curtis?
We got three more matches here, I guess. The thumbs down for the failed Conan project, Mike.
Yep.
This is... what are we, like... We pissed away a lot of goodwill here. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Even, what are we talking about? 8 weeks before this? Like, he is over in the building against Eddie Guerrero. Like, maybe I'm hanging on to this too much. And, you know, what will be. And a guy who's kind of a limited worker becomes super over with his catchphrases. And that was just supposed to how it was going to happen. But... I really liked this babyface stretch. I liked the moment where backstage Gene was like, hey, what happened in this Lucha Libre match? And Conan like had to explain it to him. Like, I thought that was a cool little moment where we went from Rey and Psychosis to the Conan promo. But like heel tweener Flair just poking him in the eye and beating him, like, ooh boy. And like, did Flair need the US title? Like, I don't, what were we doing? So yeah,
it all fell flat.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was time to pivot, and Conan was what, first 6, 8, 10 guys in the NWO, I guess. So
yeah. He turns heel from here and joins the Dungeon of Doom. Because that's where he fits. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So he needed to quit and learn a new hold here.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what's coming up. And then Flair goes on to wrestle Guerrero for the US Championship. And Guerrero actually beats him for it, I think. I'm almost positive.
That's a hell of a match. Oh, I think that, yeah, that's probably.
But I think it happens on Nitro, so we're not going to get to see it. So, a little surprising here. After 3 rounds, we're at -2. A little surprising. I can't lie.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give a specific, because I'm going to go to the main. And instead of giving like a thumbs up, just a general thumbs up, I'm going to go. My note here is so much crucial in this match, but this note specifically, Luger getting hurt, quote, by Sting, is a big play. And I don't know that I ever even noticed it before. Like, I knew that part of what makes Crow Sting happen is he feels like everybody turned their backs on him. But realizing that that is part of that is he thinks that his buddy Luger hurt him. Again, maybe I'm giving too much credit, but that's how it played out in my head. Like, that's what I thought of. So if that wasn't part of it, if that isn't part of the lair, the fact that they were able to do that and let me get there on my own without specifically saying that, I think that's some pretty good storytelling. So thumbs up to.
Yes.
Agreed.
And it's not much of a stretch, I don't think. All right. Oh my God. Pushing wrong things. Thumbs up and Corey.
I'm also going to go with something related to the main. I think one of the things that was nice about this era is that, and we'll get to several more moments like this as well, but it had a big fight feel to it. The atmosphere, it, yes, there was other things going on, obviously, that we've discussed, other matches, and some were great and some were not, but the entire show, everything was building to that moment. And just the fact that, like, As everything's happening, you know something's going to happen. Even if you don't know that Hogan's about to come down and turn heel and drop the leg on the Macho Man, you know something's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know something's coming. There's something in the air there. And that big fight feel to wrestling is something that I sorely miss as somebody that doesn't watch it weekly anymore, granted, but there was a vibe around this evening. There was a vibe around that match, and it was very, very fucking cool.
Yeah, totally.
What's going to happen next? I'm excited. Even it's like a cool thing even before the huge moment in and of itself. There's still like enough stake with the sizzle. Like, yeah, very, very well built match, and the crowd definitely did their part. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They ate it up. All right. Curtis?
And obviously pretty famous moment here, but thumbs down to announcers communicating with each other here. Like, sure. We've really, like, built for a decade to Bobby Heenan trying to tell us from his heel lens that Hulk Hogan is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that he could have, like, had this iconic call, and Tony and Dusty are like, what the hell? And they're like, shoot, annoyed with him for, like, what he should be, like, his in-character, like, crowning achievement. I told you he's a piece of shit. Like, I've been trying to exterminate Hulkamania for a decade. Like, what? Just how they kind of trampled all over him, and how that, I don't know, like, just even 10 seconds off mic of smartening each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep.
I'm gonna have, like, that could have been, like, this crowning moment for Bobby. Instead, it's like, control freak Tony Schiavone being like, whoa, and they do interviews later, and they're like, Bobby killed the moment. I love Bobby, but this sucked. And, like, no, heel Bobby Heenan saying Hogan running down to the ring, like, ostensibly, like, to help being the bad guy is perfect. That's what it should be. Like, instead, that, you know, they kind of trampled all over each other. And last episode I said live TV is cool. Here's a downside to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Gentlemen, you're not going to believe this. We are at even. After four rounds, an even zero. I got a couple things here. I don't know what this note is, so we'll talk about it afterwards. I have no idea what this is. I don't feel like this is worth going in here. I'm going to give another thumbs up to the main, like, another small thing. I thought this was a really good call, having Team WCW come out to Stinger's music. We mentioned, you know, last month, and we've mentioned several times, especially with where Stinger's going, like, again, maybe I'm putting layers that don't really exist, but I'm able to get here easily. So do with that information what you will. Stinger's the guy. Stinger is the WCW guy. This is Team WCW. They're all united under the Sting, others under Sting's banner, and we're all going to come out to Stinger's music. And again, it gives another layer to Sting down the road. Long-term storytelling in a very minute way brings it all together for me. So thumbs up to coming out to Stinger's music. Maybe it's a reach.
No, it's a nice touch.
All right, Corey?
I'm going to give a thumbs down to the misuse of the giant continuing yet again. And it, I know this is something we've talked about, but it, you've got him here teaming with Kevin Sullivan, taking on, you know, Benoit and Double A. And obviously you can't, we talked about their desire last month to, we've got to have the strap go on last, which mm-hmm. is tradition. And I understand that. So I get, you can't, when you're building to what you're building to here, you can't, I mean, maybe they learned from last month, you can't have something go on after Hogan drops the fucking leg.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. But this just feels very odd, very awkward to have your champion kind of in this spot. Just, hey, I'm here.
Yep. Just more proof that Giant's title run here doesn't mean anything. This is just keeping it warm until Hogan can beat him.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. You're a fucking rental champion.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you are. And they make it perfectly clear.
Very, very, very clear.
Poor use of, I honestly, all four guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Arn and Benoit are like, you know, here's my little nephew who's a badass, and I'm going to help him beat Sullivan. Giant beat Lex clean as a whistle the previous pay-per-view. Like, I guess I'm confused why, how we couldn't, like, parlay something else into that.
Haven't beat Joe Gomez.
There you go. This match was definitely not rocking. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Curtis?
Thumbs up to some very cool, nuanced storytelling with the main event. The you, we talked about the subtleties of the Sting and Luger stuff, how they came out to Sting's face paint. Like, it, there's some real care put into this. Hogan coming out, the fact that the match didn't go final, and that's like just, you know, like ashes in Tony Schiavone's mouth. It's like, I don't know why that was like a cool little subtlety to me. Sting and Savage, how much selling they do, how excited the outsiders are to see Hogan, like the Gene's promo, and like how like legitimately disappointed he is, and Hogan just telling you enough to make sure that you tune in to see more of this New World Organization, brother.
Go to hell, Hulk Hogan. Straight to hell.
Like, from when we first see him until the pay-per-view goes off the air, and other than like the big hiccup that I talked about with Heenan, like a nearly perfect 8 or 10 moments of pro wrestling, right?
Yeah.
It's, this is iconic for a reason. They, it was time to turn Hogan, and they, like, if you listen to the fans in the building, it was pretty overdue, but they didn't wait so long that, like, it wasn't, like, shocking to lapsed fans, or, and it also made sense within the parameters of the story they were telling on TV. Like, it was just, it was perfect. And they, to compete with Vince, you have to do some of these things that he wasn't willing to do.
Yep.
And he definitely, definitely, definitely had an opportunity to turn Hogan for a Bret Hart program, and they just weren't willing to do that and come together on that. And, like, what an opportunity they gave WCW, and holy cow, we're off to the races after this.
Yeah, yeah. There is so much. So, first things first, surprisingly, plus two. I think, I don't know, like, I really enjoyed this pay-per-view, like, in the moment. I think we just, we found a lot, like, I think the undercard just isn't anything to write home about. Yeah. But this main event, though, is, yes. I was so excited watching this main.
Yeah.
And just being, oh my God, like, holy hell, this is happening. Just as excited as I was when I was, what, 17, 16? Yeah. No, 15, because 96. Wow.
Yeah. It was the main is obviously, and I'm surprised, because I think I enjoyed this in a vacuum more than Great American Bash last month. But I think the difference does lie in the undercard. And that's not saying that the undercard here was god-awful, but there's enough similarities in both to where you take, for example, Conan versus El Gato, and but it, okay, El Gato's there, but Conan's there too. This month we get Joe Gomez, but he's going up against fucking Mongo.
Yeah.
You know, you've got month two of Bubba and Tenta. So there's a little more exhaustion with the undercard here probably than there was last month, at least certain aspects of it.
What do you think? 2 stars? How far off were we, Curtis?
I mean, that's about right. Like, I'm looking at the card chronologically here, and like, Conan did a promo after Rain Psychosis. From there, it's Tenta with Bubba, DDP, Duggan, Nasty Boys with Public Enemy. Like, we're talking like 50 minutes of shit between till we get to Dean Malenko. Like, a net plus two is still probably right for how, like, overall on the card. Like, you take off the main event, this is like Hall of Fame bad, right? Like, giving the show without the main event -3, and then the main event being +5, to net us plus two is probably about right.
Yeah. It's fair. Yeah. When you break it down that way. Yeah. And I think it had the weight of us in enjoying last month so much to Corey's point. I do think it's like a nice combination of both. So plus two. Yeah. Plus two it is for Bash at the Beach. So coming out of Bash at the Beach, man, how you feeling going into Hog Wild, Corey?
We're going outside, brother.
Yes.
We're going to fucking Sturgis.
Oh, God.
It'll be interesting because, again, young me loved the outdoor shows. Like, when you change the venue up and you took it outside, or like the spring breakout nitros with the fucking moat around the ring or whatever, the water, I thought those were so cool. So you could put a complete Cheeks card in front of me at Hog Wild, and I, at 8 years old, would have been like, aesthetically, I'm happy here.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wouldn't have processed the racism and the terrible... I'm geeked, but I'm cautiously geeked because I don't remember anything about what we're about to come across. Yep. Nothing.
So, all right. What are you thinking, Curtis? How are you feeling coming out of this and going into Hog Wild?
I know we like to have our teasers be kind of subtle here. I do not remember this card, but I'm looking at it on paper. Fire and Ice Explode, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was a fun ride. But it's over.
This on paper looks extremely exciting. I think this could be our best show that we've done in 1996. I think this could be a lot of fun.
I don't remember like how the main shakes out, but I remember the main. So like, because again, I punished myself with all this not that long ago. So no, like other than it being Sturgis, I'm pretty geeked for it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it actually pans out. But in the meantime, if you enjoyed this podcast, why not hit that subscribe button? I would appreciate that a great deal. And, you know, tell somebody that you like the hashtag WrestlePals. And we will see you next time for Hog Wild. What's the close for this one? Goddamn hashtag WrestlePals.